Moreland's Sport Extra, the podcast. Brought to you by the Moreland's Radio Sports Team and in association with Leake Building Society. Awarded the UK's Best Building Society 2023.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time of the day you are listening to this podcast. This is Moreland's Sports Extra, the podcast brought to you in association with Leake Building Society and by the sports team at Moreland's Radio. And we're back for this week's edition as we come towards the end of February. So we've got three interviews for you this week. We're going to hear from the Alsager Town manager, Dean Jones. We're going to hear from the Leake Town manager, Josh Breo. And we're going to finally hear from Neil Baker, the manager of Newcastle Town. So that's what's coming up on this week's podcast. So let's get started. And I think we've done quite a lot on the Leake and Newcastle this couple of weeks. So I think it's about time we mixed it up a little bit. Let's start at Wood Park, the home of Alsager Town. What a season they're having in the Northwest Counties First Division South. They sit just outside the playoff places in 10th place. And they are in the semi-finals of the Macron Cup, having defeated Prestwich Hayes just over a week ago on penalties. And on Saturday, they were at home to Market Drayton Town in what ended up being a thrilling 4-3 game. Alsager took the lead after 8 minutes or so through Jack Woolley. Straight away, Market Drayton equalised the visitors from Shropshire, and then Market Drayton took a 2-1 lead, but that didn't last long either, because Alsager come back, Woolley scoring a second goal for them to go into the break at half-time 2-2. After the break, Alsager should have been 3-2 down. Jacob Kerwin has dropped the across. It was a horrible, horrible day for weather-wise, so no blame can be attributed really to Jacob for this, because he dropped the ball. It was a slippery, greasy ball because of the rain, the hailstorm we had. I think at one point the game looked a danger of being abandoned because the referee called the two captains over to have a quick word. But we got the game continued, and as I say, this cross came in and Kerwin dropped it, and the striker, well, he had an open goal to aim at, and somehow his chances cleared the crossbar and out the ground. Alsager have made them have punished them and got up the other end shortly afterwards and made it 3-2 through Jack Woolley completing his hat-trick. Shortly after that, they've gone 4-3 up. Jordan Cobley has made it 4-2. But right on the end, right at the death, Kebba Barr had struck the ball home from the edge of the area to make it a very interesting injury time. And after the game, I caught up with the Alsager Town manager, Dean Jones, just to get his reaction to the game and just talk about the Macron Cup tie for against Prestwich Hayes for the Bullets and what their competition and their success in that means to them. So we'll play that for you first. Joining us on Moreland's Radio, where I think for a neutral, that was an entertaining game. How was it for the management team of Alsager Town today?
Terrible, if I could sum it up in one word. I probably enjoyed 7, 8, maybe 9 minutes of the whole 90, but we managed to get over the line somehow.
Certainly so, and I guess at the end of the day, it's the 3 points that count when the season's all said and done.
It is, mate. Yeah, it's all the target at the start of the day was 3 points, and we're sat here now with 3 points, so it's hard to be sort of super down about it. But the honest reflection of the game is we were very poor today. We were probably 2 to 3 out of 10 maximum, and that's the frustrating thing. When you know, like last week, we played against Prestwich, who were in the playoffs of the league above, and we were outstanding. And then you play a team today that are low on confidence at the wrong end of the table, and we took off the gas. That's the truth.
Do you think that was the case that they took the foot off the gas because they looked at the league table and go, "Oh, Market Drayton are struggling." I think it's 15 losses on the bounce now for them.
Yeah, it's the easiest, and you know it's a massive cliche in football, but you just know sometimes you know it happens. You've been there as a player. Sometimes it's hard to get yourself super motivated and be at that highest possible levels. But you know, if you want to achieve things as a group and as a team, you've got to make sure that that doesn't happen. If it does happen, you only drop a little bit and not so far. Market Drayton were very unlucky today not to get something out of the game. That's the truth.
Certainly so. And Jack Boy with a hat trick. He must be pleasing that he's been able to grab three goals against a very tough defence this afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. No, Jack's hat trick's, you know, a massive highlight and a positive for sure. Great, you know, his third one's an absolute worldy of a strike. So you can't begrudge that. And you know, and Jordan Cobley's ultimately come up with the last one there off a set piece. So yeah, there are a couple of positives. You know, I was pleased with the reaction first half. I've never seen us play quite as bad. The weather didn't help. You know, we had that hailstorm and the pitch has been absolutely destroyed. I think that sort of killed a lot of the game for both teams, but they dealt with it. We didn't so much. We've scored four goals. Our home form's rock solid. So ultimately, we kick on from there.
Certainly so. And just moving quickly away, last week you progressed in the Macron Cup semi-finals. It's the first time Old Sager have got that far in the competition. It must be pleasing of how that's gone.
Massively so, yeah. No, absolutely delighted for everyone, for ourselves as a management team, for the lads in the squad, for the fans, for the committee, for the whole town, really. It's, you know, it's something that's... The Macron Cup's a really tough competition for all three leagues, and we're in the last four, and deservedly so as well. I think the most rewarding part of it is we beat Ecclesall, who are a very good team. We've beat Brockton, who are top of our league. We've beat Cheadle from the league above. We've beat Prestwich from the league above in the playoffs. So we've had a tough run, and we've come through it, and we deserve to be there. And it is it's a massive carrot for us going into the absolute business end, you know, and saying to the lads before the game that your performances in games like this, you want to make sure you're in that semi-final squad. I'm not sure how many of them have helped themselves today, but there's many, you know, there's plenty of football to be played between now and then.
And it's either Charlotte Richard or Barn Oldswick here. We're still waiting for that fixture to be played, and it probably feels like it could be a while with the weather up in Lancashire. Any preference?
No, I wouldn't say there's a preference. We'll obviously do our homework. They're both good teams. They're both in the league, but we're under no illusion. It's a really tough test. But like I just said, so was all the other four games to reach this point. I would have preferred to have been at home. That's the truth. But we've got nothing to lose with it. It's an opportunity to go and show everyone in the league what we're capable of when we're at 9, 10 out of 10.
And obviously you've got semi-finals of that. You're just knocking on the door of the playoffs in the North West Counties First Division South. What would represent a good season between now and the end of this season coming?
Yeah, probably asking the wrong person, really. If you ask Terry, he'll give you a better answer. But the truth is, when we took over middle of last season, Old Sager were notoriously fighting relegation year on year. You know, the chairman and board's sort of anticipation of a very good season is mid-table. You know, we've got our own ambitions. We've demonstrated we're more than capable of coming up with a performance against anyone in the league. So if we can sneak in, it's a long shot. There's loads of teams competing for it. There's loads of really good teams. You know, it's a bit of a crazy league. Between 10th and that fifth spot is mega competitive. You know, we're top of the form table. We're in a good place. We were poor today, but we've still got 3 points. And a lot of people will say that's a sign of a good side.
Certainly so. And as someone who's been watching Old Sager from a bit of afar over the last couple of seasons, it's pleasing to see them not near the relegation zone. So it's all credit to yourself and Dean and the rest of the players to have pulled them away from that relegation zone.
Yeah, yeah. Equal share of the spoils at this point with Dom. You know, I'm just one part of, and the whole management team is a massive effort. It's good to see, and it's rewarding. You know, attendances are up like 40% from the years before. So we'd still love more people to come down. And but I get it, you know, for Old Sager Town, for years, last 4 or 5 years, it's been in a bad place. And it's just getting that word out and saying, come and have a look. We're a completely different setup. We're moving in the right direction. And the whole feel of the match day is a million times better. That obviously starts with making sure you're committed 100% on the pitch and start picking up results, which we have done.
So that's the thoughts of the Old Sager Town manager, Dean Jones, following their 4-3 victory over Market Drayton. It's interesting to hear some of the things he said. You know, they weren't at their best, and you could probably argue, yeah, they weren't at their best, but they've come away with all 3 points. They've got a big game in the Macron Cup where they'll play the winners of the Charnock Critchard versus Barnoldswick tie that has been rearranged, and potentially by the time this podcast goes out, it could be played. I think I said that last week, but the weather up in Lancashire, especially for Charnock Richard, has been causing right havoc. So if they can get the game on, fantastic, and get it played. And if you are in the Old Sager area and do fancy a game of football, get a fix of live football, then make sure you get yourself down to Woods Park. I've certainly enjoyed my trips down there this season. They're a friendly bunch at Old Sager Town, very welcoming, right down from Terry Greer, the chairman of Old Sager Town, to the army of volunteers that keep non-league football going. And as I said in last week's podcast, we're hopefully going to do at some point soon a podcast celebrating the volunteers of non-league football and local sport. But whilst that game was going on at Wood Park, over at the Low Cost Roofing Stadium, it was Derby Day Part 1. Leek Town making the trip to Hanley Town in the pitching in Northern Premier League West. Tyrone Ofori had given Hanley a 1-0 lead after 2 minutes, but Rob Stevenson, who is in the form of his life, replied with a hat-trick. 2 goals in the first half, 1 from the penalty spot, and then a 92nd minute goal to seal the victory. And after the match, Dave Stringer, who was there covering the game for us, had an in-depth discussion with Josh Breau about the game. So this is what they had to talk about.
So, Josh Breau, we expected a difficult match, and you certainly had one today, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. It's never easy to come to Hanley and then to concede a goal in the first couple of minutes. Makes it a really difficult day. I'm still on the sideline at that point going, we need to stay calm. We spoke about emotional control before the game anyway. And that was, you know, a real plus point, not only to come in at 2-1 up, but actually the way that we managed that, settled ourselves down and worked 2 really good goals. Obviously, I know one was from the penalty, but again, the way we constructed the penalty was, you know, massively linked to how we want to do things in terms of our own possession sort of philosophy and the way of playing. So I was dead pleased with getting in at 2-1. And then I think it's really difficult to come out and kind of continue in that vein. You know, goals and momentum changes things in football, doesn't it? And when you've got something to hold on to, it almost, you know, you almost start to play with a bit more pressure on you and maybe stop sort of doing some of the things that we were doing well in the first half that got us into the areas that we were in. So I don't remember Hanley really getting into our box in the first half, obviously, other than scoring the goal. But this, I mean, we had so many chances still in the second half, clearly. I mean, obviously, if it goes 3-1 earlier on, Aaron Abbs had a great chance. There was other moments. I remember Robbie getting in at the back post, didn't quite connect. Kari had a chance. And numerous opportunities still. Whilst it is 2-1, you know that you're only one mistake, one moment away from it being level. Dino's made a couple of good interventions, one really key save I can recall, and obviously it was brilliant at the end to get that third, just to make those last 2 minutes a bit nicer.
Yeah, I mean, for us on the sidelines, and I don't know what it was like for you in the dugout, but it seemed though for the first 20 minutes or so, you were struggling to get into the game. You were working your way into the game, but overhitting the ball forward, final pass not really good enough, and experienced defenders in front of you.
Yeah.
And so they were making it really difficult for you.
Yeah.
But in midfield, I think you were controlling that. You were nipping in, you were winning the ball, but you weren't getting the final ball.
Yeah, no, exactly that. And we knew that we had to be patient on that front. Sometimes that was linked to decision-making, but also I think another sort of key aspect there is not getting too frustrated. You know, they're incredibly good at what they do, and when they go 1-0 up, invariably they win, you know, more than they don't. And teams have still got to come here and will make it a really, really difficult. These will make it a really difficult game for them. There's no doubt about that. But no, I'd agree with that to a point. But I felt like we sustained our attacks. It wasn't an end-to-end game. I never felt like we were opening ourselves up to go 2-0 down as such, even though both fullbacks got on and were quite expansive with it. So I was always confident that if we continued to do the right things, the chances would come. I was just obviously really pleased that we managed to get the goals when we did, because that was key.
Yeah, in the end, they made the mistake of... it was a clear penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, it was. We obviously got the ball into Aaron, and Robbie and Aaron were playing close together in there, and obviously he's just swiped a leg out, thinking maybe he'd make a clearance, and obviously caught Robbie. And pleased for Robbie to obviously put that penalty away. It was a really, really well-taken penalty as well. And obviously the header as well, the back post was just fantastic.
Yeah, I was going to say the second goal was a great goal.
Great ball in.
You could have settled everything so much earlier, though, couldn't you? Poku, unfortunately. Aaron's just going through that phase, isn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely is. But, you know, what he offers to the team is ultimately why he's picked. Because he does offer something completely different. He's a constant foil. He's such a threat. I actually think he gives free kicks away that aren't free kicks at times as well. I feel like he suffers as a result of being the size that he is, having the frame that he's got. And I think like he gets picked on at times. I think sometimes he's just using his body. He's using his sort of innate strength that he has. And there's times when he gets penalised for stuff that I don't think's right. But no, he's linking it really well for us at the moment. I thought he did that well on Tuesday night as well at Chasetown. And that was why obviously I went with him today. And knowing then that you've always got the goal threat of Gricey to come off the bench, I mean, what an option to have. So, that was the way we chose to go today. And I'm pleased with Aaron's contribution. I would have loved for him to obviously get that goal. And I just know that obviously when he gets one, that he'll no doubt hit a purple patch and they'll come for him.
I'm sure he will. But in the end, the third goal did come. I think that's the third hat-trick of the season for Rob.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, he's really cracking the goals in, isn't he? 23 now in all competitions.
I actually had a chat with him on Tuesday. It was always my intention to get him some game time on Tuesday. He obviously didn't play in the Senior Cup in the round before. We used that as an opportunity to rest him. But I always wanted to give him some minutes, and I know what he's like. He'd gone maybe four games or something like that without scoring before Tuesday night. I know what he's like. You know, that would have been playing on his mind, and obviously he went on, and I could see he was licking his lips to go and play on that pitch, on that new surface, and he went on, obviously scored two, and then 4 days later he's come along and got himself another three. So yeah, he's been absolutely incredible for us this season, and like you say, 23 goals is an amazing return.
And certainly a neutral couldn't deny you or decry the fact that you got a third goal. You deserved a 3-1 win, really, didn't you?
I think on the balance of chances created, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
So 10 more games, league games left,
yeah.
10 more cup finals.
Yeah, and all we can do is take one at a time, and obviously there's a huge one next week with Linnets coming along first, three second. Obviously we've put ourselves in a position, by winning today, which is, again, we've said we've just got to concentrate on us, whereby we go into that game next week now with a little bit less pressure on us because of the little cushion, but clearly... You know, we're not daft. You know, that cushion can quite quickly be wiped out with the challenging fixture list that we've got between now and the end of the season. You mentioned, you know, 10 games. We've got some every game's going to be difficult. You know, at the end of the day, we've had difficult games against Trafford, Vauxhall and Hanley, who are three of the bottom five or something like that. So, you know, make no bones about it, every game's difficult. But yeah, when you actually look at the fixture list and where the teams are ranked in the league that we've got to come and play against, they're going to be... You know, they're going to be really, really hard, and obviously, when come in, it's know what they've got to come and do.
And they've got to come out and win. A draw is no good for them, really, is it? They've got to come in for a win.
Yeah, 100%. And at the same time, you know, we want to win the game. You know, it's the same as when we played against Prescott the other week. We went to Prescott wanting to win the game, but knowing that we didn't have to win the game. In the end, we won the game. Exactly the same next week. We want to win. We're going to set up to try and win the game of football. Because you know why wouldn't we? Our home form's been really, really strong, and obviously Munkholm in good form as well. So I'm sure it'll make for a really entertaining game.
One last comment about today's game. It turned very feisty in the last 15 minutes or so. You must be congratulating your players that they didn't really get involved in it too much.
Again, emotional control, very important. Spoke about that before the game. We referred back to the game we played against Stanley at our place earlier in the season. I think they had 9 yellow cards on the day and a red. So we spoke about that, the importance of retaining our focus, our discipline. We don't need to get involved in things that ultimately are outside of our control. There were a couple of, you know, naughty tackles or challenges that obviously the referees dealt with in the way in which he felt was the right way to deal with it. But yes, I'm really pleased with the way that the players sort of handled themselves in that and didn't get sort of too involved, because again, losing focus and concentration can result in a ball going in the back of your goal. So, you know, we did really well on that front.
So that's the thoughts of Josh Breo following the 3-1 victory for Leeds Town at Hanley Town at the weekend. And as Josh alludes to in that interview, it's a big, big game for Leeds Town this coming Saturday. First versus second in the pitching in Northern Premier League West. How does that sound to whet your appetite? You could say it's the season definer. It's a tough one to call whether it is or not, you know. There's still 9 games after that to go in the league for both league and Runcorn Linnets to decide ultimately who will take the championship title. Let's just give you the table as it stands as we head into Saturday's game. So Leeds Town have played 28, won 19, drawn 4, lost 5, 66 goals scored in the league, 33 conceded. That gives them a goal difference of plus 33, 61 points on the board. Runcorn Linnets, who sit in second place, they've also played 28 games. They've won 16, drawn 4 light league, lost 8 though. They've only scored 48 league goals, but they've only conceded 29. That gives them a goal difference of plus 19, 52 points for Runcorn Linnets in the league table so far. So the Blues are 9 points clear of Linnets. Prescott Cables, who sit third, who are probably the only other challengers, really. They're 10 points behind Leek, having also played 28 games. They've won 15, drawn 6, lost 7, and, as I say, on 51 points. So if Leek can get a victory on Saturday, and yes, I am just surmising here, Leek get a victory on Saturday, and let's say Prescott Cables, who are playing against at home to playoff chasing Chase Town, then you could argue it's pretty much a two-horse race between Leeds Town and Runcorn Linnets, even though Leek will have a 12-point lead over the Linnets in the league table. But that's just all surmising and hoping that Leek can come through that game with all 3 points. As Josh said, a draw won't be the end of the world for them, but they would want the victory any case. But got some important information to give you regarding that fixture at the F-Ball Community Stadium on Saturday. It's an all-ticket affair, so you need to buy your tickets beforehand. This is to ensure for swifter entry through the turnstiles and ensure that minors are accompanied with a supervising adult. So, usual way to buy your tickets, you can purchase them online. Prices, £10 for adults, £7 concessions, under 18s are £3 and under 8s are a fiver. All under 18s, as I said, must be accompanied by an adult, and supporters are limited to 4 tickets per transaction. All Leeds Town season ticket holders have got their ticket is valid for the game, and you'll gain entry as normal to this fixture. Leeds are encouraging people they will encourage all supporters to arrive early as possible to avoid congestion in the turnstiles. They'll be conducting random bag searches too, so that will need to be factored into your timetable. The Blues Bar and the Tea Hut will be open too, so you've got plenty of time to go grab yourself a pre-match pint, a pre-match cup of tea, and, of course, a burger. That's the most important thing. And also, you'll be able to pop up and say hello to Tony, Ian and Dave in the commentary box as they prepare to bring live commentary. So if you can't get to the F-Ball Community Stadium on Saturday, then we'll have live commentary. Tickets are online to buy. If you can't get online, then some tickets will be available in the clubhouse. And you have got You've had Monday and Wednesday to buy Yum. Obviously, this is going out on Friday. And Friday the 1st of March, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. to buy tickets. And also, if you head over to the Runcorn Linnets website, there is an interesting statement from the Runcorn Linnets chairman just advising Linnets supporters to remember what non-league football is about and not bring pyrotechnics. Yes, I know people say, oh, they look good, don't they, Flares? No, no, they don't. Just don't bother bringing them. It will cost the clubs, either club, fines for having them. If you let them off on the pitch, it will damage the pitch, and then there's money being paid out there. And basically, what I'm trying to say is, both Leeds Town, Runcorn Linnets fans, and probably for any club in general with regards to pyrotechnics, if you're caught bringing them in, you know, and the clubs have to pick up fines and have to pay for pitch repairs, the money is coming out of where it could be better spent, whether that's on renovations to the ground, improving the ground facilities, the playing squad. You know, you might not be able to go out and sign that better player, all sorts, yeah. So just please, guys, just leave the pyrotechnics at home and enjoy the day, because it will be a spectacular match without your pyrotechnics.
This is the Moreland Sport Extra podcast in association with Leek Building Society, rated the UK's best building society 2023, serving the community and its members for 160 years.
Yes, we are Moreland Sports Extra, the podcast brought to you in association with Leek Building Society and by the sports team here at Moreland Radio. Now, finally, we're going to hear from Neil Baker. Well, we could have brought you two interviews with Neil Baker this week because Leek Town were at Hanley Town, as I said, and Newcastle Town hosted Kisgrove, and we took the decision to make the feature game Newcastle Town versus Kisgrove at the weekend. So we were there, and I say we, Tony and Ian Corbishley were there at the Red Industry Stadium for Newcastle Town 3, Kisgrove Athletic 1. If you want to hear the thoughts of Neil Baker, then pop over to the YouTube channel of Moreland Radio Sport after this, listening to this podcast, and you'll be able to hear Bakes' interview from that game. But they also had a game on Tuesday night, and they could have gone 3 points behind the playoff places with a victory as they visited fellow side battling to get into the upper echelons of the league table in City of Liverpool. Sadly, the game at the Van Uppin Arena wasn't to be Newcastle's. They had a good game, as Neil Baker will say to us, but ultimately, a first-half goal from Josh Qualls when Slins parried the ball when he could have done better with it, and it's allowed Qualls to score on 23 minutes to make it 1-0. On the hour mark, Elliot Morris was given the freedom to run into the Newcastle box and get a shot away, and that ended up in the back of the net. And then on 77 minutes, substitute Danny Mitchley, and you know, when you're 2-0 up at home, yes, I know the Van Uppin Arena is not City Liverpool's destination home, really, in the grand scheme of things. There has been a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, which I won't get to on here. That's for people to read elsewhere. You know, that is a good, you know, a good striker you could bring on, and Slynn did well to turn a strike onto the crossbar. He probably, if he's we're being truthful, could have held it, but it was turned onto the crossbar, and Mitchley was the fastest to react, and he was able to put home for 3-0 on 77 minutes. Newcastle did get one back through Isaac Graham in the fourth minute of injury time. A cracking strike from the Castle midfielder, but ultimately it was too little, too late. After the game, I caught up with Neil Baker to get his reaction to the match, and this is what he had to say to us. Neil Baker, thanks for joining us on Moreland Radio. Frustrating night here at City Liverpool. What's your assessment of tonight's showing?
Yeah, very frustrating, because we were excellent with the ball in possession. Played some really good football, but soft without it, Richard. Too soft. They enjoyed having the ball. They didn't enjoy the defending, and that's what's cost us tonight. Some poor defending. It's a game where you've got to do both, and our players were as I say, enjoyed having the ball, but the defending's got to be much better. We've got to be harder to beat, harder to score against, which we were when I first came in. Now the football's taken over, and that solidarity was lacking tonight.
What do you make of all three of their goals? Because I think there's probably bits that you won't be happy with when you look back on it.
Well, listen, the first goal was a goalkeeping mistake. Slinney will hold his hand up. And that'll happen at this level of football. But what we mustn't forget is that Joe's been excellent since we've come in. So I'm not blaming him for that. The second goal was a counter-attack. Like I said, we got bodies forward that weren't willing to run the other way. And that's what I want them to see, those recovery runs and willing to defend when the move breaks down. The third goal, I can't remember much about it, Richard.
Ursuline put it onto the crossbar and then Mitchell's followed it straight up.
Yeah, well, they haven't reacted to it. The ball's fell kindly for him, hasn't it? Slinney's touched it onto the bar and it's bounced down for the lad. You know, that's a little bit of lack of concentration. It's not the striker being aware because it's fell for him. Were we slow to react? I don't know.
Isaac Green with a consolation goal right at the end. A nice strike, though.
Super goal. And he's developing as a footballer. He's got a bit to do. Like all of them have got a bit to do. But you can't knock his attitude. He's now starting to assist and score goals. And, you know, that's the progress he's making. As I say, plenty to do with Isaac. But he could end up a very good midfield player.
So you had to make a couple of changes to the personnel tonight and a couple of players missing, the likes of Tommy van der Laan.
Yeah, well, Tommy's a miss wherever you play him, whether that's centre half or in midfield. He's played the two games at centre half and got better. Was fine on Saturday. And he's a big miss. He's a big miss because he's our captain. He's our leader. When the ball comes in our box, he's usually the one to head it away. But then it's up to other people. You know, there's enough players with experience in there, not age, but games that they've played at this level, and we've got to be able to cope without players in the team.
Gave Niall Osborne his first start in the Newcastle colour. How do you think he did tonight?
He was excellent after a nervy start. I thought he was terrific. He used class and doesn't look particularly strong, but he held his own, and I thought certainly one of our better players.
Cameron Holland as well, I thought he had a good game in midfield.
Yeah, Callum were fine. Tired a little bit. He got a bang on Saturday, which didn't help him. But he's, I think he's had two good games, and we've got to remember that he's come from America, hasn't played many games. I think that was his third game in about, since November, he said. So he's still getting to the pace of the game, still tuning into what we do, but pleased to have him.
You said on Saturday to Ian, two tough away games coming up. You've had one, Stalybridge Bridge on Saturday away, I believe. What are you looking at that game?
Well, it was a test to see how far we come. And I think anybody who saw us at the start of our reign would say that was a massive improvement with the ball. I think we actually looked, we were the better side with the football. We weren't without it. So there's progress there, but are we as tough to beat as we were when we first went in? No. So we've got to get that right, both sides right.
Neil, to turn the lights off, so I better let you go. Thank you.
So that's the thoughts of Newcastle Town manager Neil Baker. And it's interesting to hear what he says about the change in how they're playing. Now they've got their feet under the table, the management team himself and Paul Wright and the rest of the backroom staff at Newcastle Town. They were tough to beat when they arrived and were grinding out victories. Now they're playing some really fantastic stuff. They did look quite good on Tuesday night, it has to be said, at times on the ball. Against Prescott Cables, they were superb against the Merseyside club and fully deserved their 3-0 victory. But I think if you offer any Newcastle Town fan a top 10 finish now as we enter the start of March in the pitching in Northern Premier League West, then I'm sure they will be delighted. They currently sit 13th. They are just a point off 10th place, witness having played the same played the game more. They've also got Nantwich just above them again, having played the same more. Avro have got two games in hand, one of them being away at Kidsgrove Athletic after the game was abandoned there last week. So it is all to play for in the pitching in Northern Premier League West, as it is for all of our local clubs up and down the pyramid. And of course, don't forget Stoke City and Port Vale, and no doubt soon we'll be getting in touch with Mike and Dave to talk about their two respective clubs and just what is going on with both of them. But that's for another episode, and that brings to an end this week's episode. And before we go, as always, let me bring you the fixtures, because as I said earlier in the podcast, Slate Town versus Runcorn Linnet, first versus second in the pitching in Northern Premier League West. It's also first versus second in the Midlands Football League Premier Division. So let's get you them fixtures. So in the pitching in Northern Premier League West, there's only really one place to start for your fixtures this week. It's at the F-Ball Community Stadium. It's an all-ticket clash. It's first versus second in the league. It's Leek Town versus Runcorn Linnet. Be there if you can. If you can't, we'll have full live commentary on the game. But as I say, if you can get yourself down, then do so and cheer on Josh Braille's men to a vital 3 points if they can get it. Elsewhere in the pitching in Northern Premier League West, Hanley Town are on the road. They go to Cheshire to 1874 Northwich. There's a localish derby, Kidsgrove Athletic versus Nantwich Town, and Newcastle Town have that game, as we've just heard from Neil Baker, away at Stalybridge Celtic. In the Vanarama National League North, the highest division of our local sides playing the non-league system, Buxton are at home. They host Scarborough Athletic, and when Buxton won the Northern Premier League Premier Division, it was the Sea Dogs of Scarborough who followed them up through the playoffs, so that will have a fixture of a bit of rivalry to contend with going back to their promotion days. It might be first versus second in the pitching in Northern Premier League West. It's also first versus second in the Midlands Football League Premier Division. Congleton Town are at home. They welcome Lichfield City, who sit just 5 points behind the Bears in the league table. Another big game at the Clerick Stadium. So if you are in the Congleton Town, the Congleton area on Saturday, then get yourself down there. Stone Ardalanians are in action as well. They're on the road. They go to Bewdley Town, who sit bottom of the Midlands Football League Premier Division. And finally, in the Northwest Counties First Division South, Abbey Hay are hosting our local side, Sandbach United, whilst Abbey Horton United and Alsager Town are both at home. New Mills are the visitors to the Drayton Beaumont Stadium, the home of Abbey Horton United, while Stockport Georgians make the trip to Cheshire and to Alsager Town. So that is your fixtures for this week involving our local non-league sides. And as I say, if you can get there, then certainly do. Certainly at the F-Ball Community Stadium and the Clerick Stadium, they both sides will love to have your support at the game and cheer the respective sides onto 3 points. Hopefully, when we speak next week on the podcast, we'll be discussing victories for Leek Town and for Congleton Town, so be there, or as they say, be square. But that's what brings to an end this week's edition of Moreland Sports Extra, the podcast brought to you in association with Leek Builders Society and by the sports team here at Moreland Radio. We're back on air, as I say, from 2 p.m. on Saturday with those two relatively small games, aren't they? Come on, let's be honest. In the grand scheme of things, it's just 3 points, but there's so much riding on it in reality. So we're on air from 2 p.m, 103.7 FM, 97.3 FM, DAB, on the app, on your smart speaker, online at moorlandsradio.co.uk. We'll also then be on air again on Tuesday night from 7 p.m, looking at all the midweek sports show. Same places you can find us. And we always love to hear your thoughts on social media. So you can tweet us or message us on X. I don't know what they call tweeting these days. Is it Xing? Who knows? But we're on Twitter or X. Moreland Sports 1. Facebook, Moreland Radio Sport. YouTube, Moreland Radio Sport. Instagram, Moreland Radio Sport. Email, sport@moorlandsradio.co.uk. You can no doubt find our intrepid team of sports, of the sports team, on social media as well. Just search for us and no doubt our profiles come up. And if there's anything you want us to be talking about at your local sporting clubs, then do get in contact and we will feature them not only on here but on the website and on the Saturday and midweek sports shows. Both of them, of course, in association with Leek Building Society, as is this podcast in association with Leek Building Society. And it's my thanks to you guys, the listeners, to Dean, to Josh, to Neil for coming on speaking to us, to Dave Stringer for the interview with Josh at the weekend. But for now, thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you on Saturday.
This is the Moreland Sport Extra podcast in association with Leek Building Society, rated the UK's best building society 2023, serving the community and its members for 160 years.